going to spend more time this morning talking about the natural remedies. Why are natural remedies so important? Why are they so interesting to the Seventh-day Adventist people? What is the difference between natural remedies and the other kind of remedies? We know what the natural remedies are. We've read them many times from the Ministry of Healing, page 127, pure air, sunlight, abstemiousness or temperance, rest, exercise, proper diet, the use of water, trust in divine power. These are the true remedies. Now, why is it that we take so much interest in these true remedies? What sets them apart from the other remedies? And as you know, there's many voices calling from many different directions saying that this is the way that we should practice medicine or this is the way that we should treat patients. But we have an outline as a Seventh-day Adventist people telling us what the true remedies really are. Now, I would like to read a statement or two from the Spirit of Prophecy to give us a little help in understanding why these particular remedies are really so powerful and why we should take so much interest in them. First of all, reading from the Ministry of Healing, page 112, through the agencies of nature, God is working day by day, hour by hour, moment by moment, to keep us alive, to build up and restore us. But the power working through these agencies is the power of God. It's the power of God that is working through these natural agencies, through nature, to build up and to restore our bodies. Now, reading from the book Education, page 197, it is His life that we receive in the sunshine, in the pure, sweet air, in the food which builds up our bodies and sustains our strength. It is His life that we receive. When we receive the sunshine, the pure air, and the food which builds up our bodies, can you begin to get an understanding now of why these natural remedies are so important? Because the very power and life of God is flowing out to us from them. This morning, what I'd like to do is these three natural remedies that Ellen White has mentioned here, the sunlight, the pure sweet air, and the food which builds up our bodies, I would like to spend some time discussing them and showing how really and truly the power of God is flowing through these natural remedies. Our job as a Seventh-day Adventist people, from Councils on Diets and Foods, page 69, to make plain natural law and urge the obedience of it is a work that accompanies the third angel's message to prepare a people for the coming of the Lord. And this message, the health message, that is to accompany the third angel's message, has one vital function. From Testimonies, Volume 7, page 59, as the right hand of the third angel's message, God's methods of treating disease will open doors for the entrance of present truth. God's methods of treating disease will open the doors for the entrance of present truth. And we'll come back to this statement a little later on. But for now, I would like to get into our first natural remedy and show how the actual power of God comes through this natural remedy. sunlight. Last night we talked about sunlight and how that around the turn of the century, they were using it to cure tuberculosis with. And they used it to treat other infectious diseases with. And they were very successful. And then when antibiotics came, they found ways of giving pills and injections rather than using the sunlight, and the sunlight kind of fell into disfavor. Now, there's some other fascinating areas that sunlight has action in. As an example, when the sunlight strikes your skin, it has an effect upon your blood pressure. And if you have high blood pressure, it has a dramatic effect in lowering your high blood pressure. And it seems to act almost like a physiologic effect. The higher your blood pressure is, the greater the drop. In one large group that was studied, they had an average drop of over 40 millimeters of mercury in the systolic or the upper part of the blood pressure following just one single exposure to the sun. Those who have blood pressures that are normal or even below normal, they don't seem to be affected very much by the sunlight. But those who have high blood pressure have a dramatic effect when sunlight strikes their skin. Now, this isn't something that is little known in the scientific literature. In fact, just a few years back, it was published in the Journal of the American Medical Association, and I'll quote to you, "The maximal depression of blood pressure is gradually reached in about 24 hours, and low pressure values may persist for several days." So here we have it. It takes about 24 hours for the full effect of that one single exposure to the sunlight to take effect on your blood pressure. But after that, that effect carries on for as many as 5 and 6 days. Your blood pressure will stay down following exposure to the sun. And I know what many of you are thinking. You say, well, sunlight causes skin cancer and sunlight causes aging of the skin. But this afternoon, we're going to spend a lot of time and really get into the real heart of the matter as to who is the real culprit in skin cancer and what is really happening. Because we know that the sun is a healing power and there's something going on in our lives that will give us skin cancer if we get out in the sun, and that thing has to be eliminated. Well, a fascinating thing was discovered when they discovered that rickets was cured by getting out in the sunlight. As you know, rickets is a disease where the bones get very soft. And these children, their bones get so soft that their legs just bow right out. It was discovered that the sunlight actually changes the cholesterol in the skin into a substance known as vitamin D. And this substance is under control in the body so that not too much of it is produced. Just the right amount of vitamin D is produced in the tissues when sunlight strikes your skin. In other words, you can't get a toxic dose like you could if you went out and took a vitamin pill with vitamin D. No one has ever been shown to have gotten a toxic dose of vitamin D from the sunlight. Well, this interesting disease, rickets, and it's also seen in adults called osteomalacia, where the adult bones become very thin and weak just because of a lack of sunlight. Now this disease, it was discovered that the children in the big cities would get this disease because they couldn't get in the sunlight. They would live in the slum areas where there'd just be a narrow alley going down through the street and just maybe a few minutes during the day the sun would come overhead, and they lived mainly indoors. And then on top of that, there was so much coal that was burned that the black smoke would billow up over the city. And the sunlight just couldn't seem to get through that very well. So there's many reasons that these children didn't get the sunlight. And it was always the children in the cities that got this. The children that lived out in the countries, they didn't seem to have a problem with rickets. And another interesting thing that was shown was it was always the darker skinned children that got the rickets. The very light skinned children, they seemed to be able to get by much better. But as the dark skinned children that seemed to get the rickets much worse. And later studies showed that the darker the skin, the harder the sunlight has in penetrating it and doing its job. And this has been shown in a number of studies. So that the darker skinned children, they really needed to spend more time out of doors and more time in the sunlight to keep from getting rickets. Well, now with this background into this disease called rickets and how it's the actual cholesterol that has changed in the tissues to form vitamin D. Another researcher said, I wonder how much cholesterol is actually being transformed into vitamin D. And the sunlight changes cholesterol into a number of products. They're not just, it's just not vitamin D. The cholesterol is changed into something called pre-vitamin D. It's changed into something called lumesterol and tacosterol and a bunch of big chemical names. Well, so it just doesn't stop there with changing the cholesterol into vitamin D. But this researcher decided he was really going to see what would happen to the cholesterol level in the blood after the exposure to the body to sunlight. So he took a large group of people and he measured their blood cholesterol. And then he took this group of people and he gave them all a sunbath. He didn't allow them to burn. He didn't let them get that much sunlight. And then 2 hours after the sunbath, he brought them in and measured their blood cholesterol again. And this doctor was absolutely amazed when he discovered that as an average over the entire group, he took 50 people in this group, that there was a 13% drop in the blood cholesterol in just a little over 2 hours of time. 13%. Amazing drop in the blood cholesterol. This study was published in the New England Journal of Medicine, but physicians and scientists didn't seem to pay much attention to it because just about this time, the sun was being incriminated in skin cancer. And not only that, so many new antibiotics were starting to come out that the sun wasn't very important anymore as a healing agent. So the study was fairly well ignored. But another group of researchers didn't ignore this study. And over the years, they've been gradually developing this information and working with it. In fact, these researchers are located up in Russia. And some scientific studies have just recently come out of Russia showing that these Russians are using sunlight to treat atherosclerosis, to treat hardening of the arteries. And they're starting to treat cerebral atherosclerosis, stroke patients, senile patients, patients who have their brains befuddled because of the cholesterol that's built up there. Their memories are gone. They're starting to get these patients out in the sunlight. And they're starting to get some amazing results with these patients. And they got such good results that they said, well, what about the coronary arteries that are all plugged up with cholesterol too? Let's start getting some heart patients. So they got some heart patients who had abnormal electrocardiograms. Electrocardiograms that showed that their arteries were plugged up, that they weren't getting a good blood supply into their heart. They took these patients and they started them on a gradual, progressive program of sunbathing. And over a number of months, these electrocardiograms turned from abnormal electrocardiograms into normal electrocardiograms from sunbathing. Well, this information is fascinating. And I believe the Russians are far ahead of us in its application in treating high blood pressure, in treating some of the chronic degenerative diseases like stroke, hardening of the arteries in the heart, heart attacks, diabetes, where your blood sugar goes way high. The sunlight seems to have a dramatic effect in lowering the blood sugar. In fact, it seems to be almost like a physiologic mechanism. If your blood sugar is very high, the sunlight has a dramatic effect in bringing down the high blood sugar. But if your blood sugar is low or normal, it doesn't seem to have any effect. If anything, a stabilizing effect in the blood sugar. This information was also published in the Journal of the American Medical Association. Speaking of the effects of lowering the blood sugar. Now, not only does the sunlight have a dramatic effect in healing infectious diseases, healing chronic degenerative diseases like the heart disease, strokes, diabetes, but it's also implicated in cancer, as we mentioned last night, where these researchers took these experimental animals that usually develop cancer at a certain age, and they expose them to sunlight, give them the sun baths, and these animals do not develop the cancer like they usually do. Some very interesting information. Well, if we look at people, we would expect that if the sunlight really is involved in helping people to prevent these diseases, these chronic degenerative diseases and infectious diseases, as well as helping people prevent things like rickets and osteomalacia, then we would expect to see that people who have darker skin would develop more of these degenerative diseases. They would get more tuberculosis. And if we look at the darker skinned people in this country, we can see that the darker skinned people do develop more tuberculosis. They do develop more infectious diseases. They do develop more cancer. They develop more heart disease and strokes and diabetes. And they have twice the incidence of high blood pressure that the lighter skinned people have. Now, there's other factors that are involved, I'm sure. Other nutritional factors and stress factors and things like that. But when you eliminate all these other factors, you still have a real problem here. Now, an interesting study has been done where they've taken newborn babies that develop jaundice. They turn yellow. They call it a newborn jaundice. And if they take these children and expose them to nice bright light, like sunlight, this jaundice goes away. They seem to be cured, and they used to exchange their blood, do exchange transfusions, which were very dangerous, and many children died. Now they just expose them to this bright light, And the bright light changes that bilirubin that turns them yellow, changes it into something else that is harmless and is removed from the body. Well, they have trouble with darker skinned children also in this. And many times those bright lights don't seem to function very well and do the job like it does in the lighter skinned children. So, what we're trying to show is that if your skin is darker, you probably need more sunlight. And if your skin is very light, like the blondes and the redheads and things, they need not as much sunlight. In other words, they could stay out maybe for a few minutes to an hour or so in the sunlight and get as much as a darker skinned person staying out maybe 2 or 3 or 4 hours. So this is one variable that we need to understand when we get out and get the sunlight. Here in the United States, some very fascinating studies have been done into the area of physical fitness. Exercise. But one of the most fascinating studies was done at the University of Illinois by Dr. Cureton, who is professor of physical education there. And Dr. Cureton started a group of freshman students in one of his physical education classes. And he took this group of students and he divided them in half. He did a physical fitness test on them and he knew just about where they were. He tested them for endurance and power and agility and balance and flexibility. And then, when he divided this group in half, he gave one of the groups sunlight treatment. And the other group, he just left them carry on with their normal activities. Now, during the winter months in Chicago, and this was when it was, during the winter quarter, there isn't much sunlight. So he knew that these people would not be getting out and getting very much sunlight. In January, February. But the other group, he gave the sunlight treatments to. And over the quarter, he continued this program. And at the end of the quarter, he repeated the whole battery of tests on these people. Now, the group that wasn't getting the sunlight, they made an overall improvement in their physical fitness scores of about 2%. They had better balance and better flexibility and better agility and endurance and power, but only by an overall average of about 2%. But when he tested the group that had been getting the sunlight treatments, they had an overall increase of 20%. There was a tremendous difference between the two groups. Now, this isn't an unusual study because the study has been repeated a number of times over in Czechoslovakia, Russia, Germany, and they always come up with the same results. That sunlight seems to have a dramatic effect in improving physical fitness. In fact, this information wasn't new at all. The ancient Greeks, they would take their athletes and have them lie out on the sun where they could really absorb the sunlight because they knew that the sunlight feeds the muscles. This was all written in their literature. Not being exposed to the sunlight, they knew their athletes wouldn't improve, wouldn't get better. But being exposed to the sunlight, they knew that they would be performing at their very maximum and be improving very rapidly. This information was borne out again during the early 1900s when they were treating the tuberculosis with sunlight. These large sanitariums, in fact, if you ever get a chance to look at a book of treatment with sunlight using tuberculosis, these large sanitariums, they had long wards. And they had a way of opening up these wards so as the sunlight would shine in. And you can just see the beds lined up one after another and the sunlight coming in and all these patients lying out there. Well, observers would come in and these poor tuberculosis patients would come in. Just racked with tuberculosis. Nothing but skin and bone. And these patients would come in there. And they'd lie out there in the sun, day after day, week after week, month after month. And observers would look at these patients and they would note that as the weeks and the months went by, that these patients started to become well-muscled. Their muscles were developing. And they were having a hard time understanding because these patients weren't pushing up barbells. They weren't doing heavy physical exercise. They were lying around in the sun. There's a lot of evidence in the scientific literature that sunlight is very vital to our physical fitness and our ability to perform physical feats. Now we know that many people, when they get out and they start to exercise, and exercise is a stress, that they'll come down with colds and flus because of the extra stress they're putting on their body. But these people really need to learn about the effect of sunlight in curing infectious diseases. Influenzas and colds and other kinds of infectious diseases are all helped dramatically by the sunlight. And the sunlight builds up an immunity in you. And not only does it do that, but it helps you in your physical fitness program also. So the sunlight is something that is very vital. Now, there's much that we could get into in the area of how sunlight helps us overcome pollution. When we take chemicals and other things like that into our bodies and our foods, the sunlight has a dramatic effect in increasing the enzymes in our bodies that carry those toxic chemicals out. It's been shown that it can improve the excretion of lead and other heavy metals out of the body many, many fold. And some chemicals up to 1,000 times faster than if you weren't getting the sunlight. Now, Ellen White had a lot to say about sunlight. What a vital power it was. How important it is to us. And let me read just a statement or two from Ellen White. In the little book, Healthful Living, page 230. Go out into the light and warmth of the glorious sun. You pale and sickly ones, and share with vegetation its life-giving, health-dealing power. Life-giving, health-dealing power. Why, what dramatic words. And when we bring those right back to the statement we read in the book Education, page 197, it is His life that we receive in the sunshine. We can start to understand how that there is health-giving, life-giving power flowing through the sun into our bodies. From Testimonies, Second Testimonies, page 527, this is one of nature's most healing agents. And from Ministry Healing, page 276, plenty of sunlight. It's essential to freedom from disease. And from Selected Messages, Book 2, page 297, and when I violate the laws of God, when I violate the laws God has established in my being, I am to repent and reform and place myself in the most favorable condition under the doctors God has provided. Pure air, pure water, and the healing, precious sunlight. Same book, page 296. I must not deprive myself of exercise and air. I must get out and get all the sunlight that it is possible for me to obtain. Very interesting statement of Ellen White, published in the Herald of Health, April 1871. Ladies, this is just especially for the ladies now. Ladies, if you wish to be strong and healthy and desire to possess true beauty and not the sentimental shadow of it, seek the glorious God-given sunlight. Fear not to look old King Sol in the face. Sunlight is one of the best tonics and beautifiers in the world. Therefore, men, women, and children, one and all, should seek it as one of the greatest natural agencies which help to form the elixir of life. My, what powerful words about the sunlight. Let's look for a few moments into the next one of the natural remedies that we'll be discussing this morning. Air. Vital air. As we mentioned last night, there's a difference between the air that is outdoors, that has the charge on it, an actual electrical charge, and the air that is indoors. There's a big difference. The air that is indoors has lost that charge. It doesn't have that power on it anymore. It's not vital. Once it's heated, once it is breathed, that electrical charge is gone. Now, what is the difference between the vital air and the devitalized air, as Ellen White puts it? A very fascinating study was done a few years ago where they took experimental animals and they induced cancer in all of these animals. A rapidly growing cancer. And then they took these animals and they divided them into two groups. The first group, they had breathed just the normal air that you and I are breathing. The second group, they had breathed the vital air, the outdoor air, and that was the only difference between the two groups. As the weeks and the months went by, they started watching these cancers. The group that was breathing the devitalized air, their cancer was doubling and tripling. But the group that was breathing the vital air, their cancer was hardly growing at all. Amazing study. And this study is referred back to in many of the literature in cancer journals now as a very interesting fact involving the charged air, or as the literature puts it, the ionized air. There's much we could get into in the area of asthma and allergies as far as this charged air is concerned. There's much information about increasing the oxygen in the tissues. And not only increasing the oxygen in the tissues with this vital air, but increasing our ability to withstand stress. If they take experimental animals and have them breathe the devitalized air, it seems like these animals aren't able to stand up under stress very well. And when placed in a stressful situation, they just seem to come all apart. They're not able to handle it very well. But you take these animals and you expose them to the vital air, and their adrenal glands seem to increase and enlarge in size. And as you know, your adrenal glands put out cortisone and other hormones that help you overcome stress. And these animals that are breathing the vitalized air are able to take much more stress without having any problems. Well, not only overcoming stress, but humans that have been subjected to breathing the two different kinds of air, almost invariably, when they start breathing this charged air, they get a sense of well-being, an exhilarating sense of well-being. And they feel rather blah when they're breathing this stale air. Getting the oxygen increased in your tissues is vital. Getting that charged air in there. Sunlight has a dramatic effect of increasing the oxygen in the tissues. But the charged air also has a dramatic effect of increasing the oxygen in the tissues. And building up a good amount of oxygen in your tissues is absolutely vital. Now let me give you an illustration of why There was a man who won 2 Nobel Prizes, experimenting with this very factor of getting more oxygen down into your tissues. And this doctor showed that you could take normal cells out of an experimental animal and take these normal cells and put them on a culture plate where they'll gradually grow and divide, and take these normal cells and remove some of the oxygen from the environment so it's not quite as rich in oxygen. And these normal cells will take on the appearance of malignant cancerous cells. And when these malignant cancerous cells are placed back in the experimental animal's body, they will soon destroy that animal with a malignant cancerous growth. Now, the same study was repeated using human cells. And human cells, when they are not given the amount of oxygen that they should really have, they turn into those cancerous, malignant cells. You can start to get an understanding now of how important it is to have such good circulation. Those red blood cells carrying the vital oxygen out to all your tissues. And anything that inhibits that oxygen from getting out into your tissues may contribute to eventual cancer growth. We know that as hardening of the arteries builds up, you have less and less blood supply out to your tissues. Poorer and poorer circulation. Your tissues start to go downhill. Your immune system, your system that can help fight cancer, goes downhill. You have less oxygen out there in your tissues. And older people, as a general rule, get much more cancer than young people. So it is vital that we really learn about the vitalized air that Ellen White is talking about versus the devitalized air. It's very important that we understand that deep and proper breathing has a dramatic effect in lowering your blood pressure. Now, if you don't believe this, you that have high blood pressure, have someone measure your blood pressure. And then take about 8 or 10 nice, big, deep breaths. And learn how to breathe properly. Learn the kind of breathing that Ellen White recommends. Ministry Healing, page 264. Teach them to breathe deeply and in breathing and speaking to exercise the abdominal muscles. Now that's the way we need to learn to breathe. Down here, and not this shallow breathing up here in the chest. Now, if you have them measure your blood pressure before and then after you've taken about 8 or 10 deep breaths, you will be amazed in the drop in your blood pressure. It has a dramatic effect. And deep and proper breathing, and especially the right kind of air, can lower your blood pressure significantly. These health remedies all seem to fit together. Almost every one of them that we go through, you're going to find that they almost fit together in their effect upon cancer, hardening of the arteries, high blood pressure, all these different things. They just all seem to be curing the diseases that plague us. Each and every one of these natural remedies. And we know that oxygen has a direct effect upon atherosclerosis and hardening of the arteries. Researchers have fed experimental animals a high-fat, high-cholesterol diet, and they've gotten their arteries all plugged up with cholesterol. And then they give them extra oxygen to breathe. And a dramatic thing has happened. That hardening of the arteries starts to reverse itself. Those arteries start to clean themselves out by getting that extra oxygen. Vital information for us to know about deep and proper breathing. Ellen White makes a number of statements about breathing and air. I'd like to read from the little book, Healthful Living, page 157. Air is far more essential to them than their food. Air is far more essential to them than their food. It seems like she always puts food kind of down on the bottom of the list of the natural remedies. From First Testimonies, page 702, air, air, the precious boon of heaven will prove a precious soother of the nerves. It excites the appetite and renders the digestion of food more perfect and induces sound and sweet sleep. Now, if you ever have trouble getting to sleep at night, this is a beautiful statement from the Spirit of Prophecy. Deep and proper breathing, inducing sound and sweet sleep. Well, when I first read that, I passed over. I read it again. I said, well, how could deep breathing induce sound and sweet sleep? Well, I said, well, I'll try it. So that night I decided instead of counting sheep to go to sleep, I would count deep breaths. Well, I got to 8 or 10 nice deep breaths and I woke up the next morning. I told my wife about it, and she was quite skeptical. So the next night, she tried it. The next morning, she woke up and said, hey, it really does work. And I've had countless people tell me what a relaxing and soothing effect that deep breathing has. It does relax you and help you go to sleep. From the book Education, page 198. And while the importance of deep breathing is shown, the practice should be insisted upon. Let exercises be given which will promote this and see that the habit becomes established. Now, I would like to say that you can go overboard in any one of the natural remedies. You can exercise too much. You can get too much sunlight when you're not used to it. And you can breathe too much. You can hyperventilate. So we need to understand what we're doing. We need to understand these remedies and we need to study them. Just before we go into diet for just a few moments this morning, I would like to mention one other thing that is vitally important. And that's our state of mind. This is vitally important if we're going to have health. And there is only one way that we can have a beautiful experience, and that is through knowing our Lord Jesus Christ. Because through this comes hope and faith and love. There's an interesting experience I like to tell of a man who was admitted to a hospital. And while in the hospital, he is told that he had a malignant disease and that he had 6 months or less to live. Well, this man was a Christian and he said, Lord, if I'm to go in 6 months, he says, the next 6 months are going to be the most abundant and beautiful and happy months of my life. And I'm going to accept your word in the scripture that says, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. And this man thought of all the things that he could do to make life enjoyable and happy and pleasant. And he did all he could to praise and to find joy and happiness in life. He even got some reruns of this television program called Candid Camera. And this man would sit in his hospital room and he found out that a good laugh was just about as potent as a shot of morphine in curing, in helping his pain and alleviating his pain. A good laugh seemed to work wonders in helping the pain. And this man was just thinking of everything that he could do. He was playing little practical jokes on the doctors. And little practical jokes on the nurses, and the nurses would hear him down the hall just laughing. It wasn't long before they decided it was time this man should go home. Well, he went home and his progress continued. He seemed to gain strength and seemed to get better. At the end of 6 months, he went in for a checkup from his doctor. And this whole study was published in the New England Journal of Medicine. And so we know that it's valid. And this doctor examined this man and repeated all the studies on this man. And he said, I don't really understand what has been happening, but he says, I find no trace of the malignant disease you had 6 months ago. Do we know that there's a power from the spirit of prophecy, a power that is healing if we get our minds in connection with Christ? Most assuredly. Let's read from Ministry Healing, page 241. Many of the diseases from which men suffer are the result of mental depression, grief, anxiety, discontent, remorse, guilt, distrust, all tend to break down the life forces and to invite decay and death. Courage, hope, faith, sympathy, love promote health and prolong life. A contented mind, a cheerful spirit is health to the body and strength to the soul. And from page 115, the love which Christ diffuses through the whole being is a vitalizing power. Every vital part, the brain, the heart, the nerves, it touches with healing. By it, the highest energies of the being are aroused to activity. It frees the soul from the guilt and sorrow, the anxiety and care that crush the life forces. With it comes serenity and composure. It implants in the soul joy that nothing earthly can destroy. Joy in the Holy Spirit. Health-giving, life-giving joy. Oh, the information that we don't have in the spirit of prophecy about health. About vibrant health. Vigorous health. Just briefly, just for a few moments, I'd like to touch in the area of diet. Because there's some dramatic and exciting things happening that I believe that we need to look into and study. Several research centers in the United States have started developing a diet that will reverse some of the symptoms of the chronic degenerative diseases that plague us as a society. In fact, one of these research centers in California was studied. And these patients who went to this research center, they stayed for 4 weeks. And a team of experts, MDs and PhDs and statisticians, came from Loma Linda over to this research center and started studying this group of patients that were going through this program. And month by month, they would study these patients. They would come in, and 4 weeks later, they would leave. And the diet that these patients were on was none other than the diet that was given to the Seventh-day Adventist people over 100 years ago. And somehow we lost sight of it. To where today we totally misunderstand what that diet was. But here a research center discovered this diet and they started feeding their patients on this diet. And what happened? Let's find out what this team from Loma Linda found out. Overweight patients lost an average of 10 pounds apiece and really obese ones lost an average of 13 pounds. 85.3% of the patients with high blood pressure were able to quit taking drugs, yet their blood pressure levels remained lower than when they were on the drugs. Here we have diet affecting high blood pressure. We talked about the deep and proper breathing affecting blood pressure, about sunlight affecting blood pressure. Friends, if we put these all together, there's many of us taking drugs to control our high blood pressure. If we were just on the health message, we would not have to take those drugs. And here this group of people in the study, after only 4 weeks, got off their drugs and their blood pressure was even lower than when they were taking their drugs. Let's go on. Cholesterol levels dropped an average of 26% in the group. Blood fat levels plunged by 25%. About 40% of the patients with diabetes were completely off of insulin after just 3 or 4 weeks. Dramatic effect in dropping the blood sugar. I mentioned this about sunlight. Many severely ill heart patients were able to walk only a few yards before joining the program. Walked an average of 155 miles each during their 3 or 4 week stay. An interesting study was also done by Dr. Claude Merbacher, professor of natural sciences at San Diego State University, and he did some psychological tests on these patients before and after they had gone through this program. Some intelligent tests on them. And here's what he discovered. Revealed that the patients were also mentally sharper after going on the diet. They became more efficient, thought faster and more clearly, did mental arithmetic quicker, and were more fluent. All in this diet that was given to the Seventh-day Adventist people over 100 years ago. Friends, doesn't that remind you of the diet that Daniel went on and his friends when they were found 10 times better than those who ate the dainties at the king's table? We have a powerful diet that can heal, that has the very life-giving power that God has put in there. But somehow we've lost sight of that diet. And this afternoon we're going to spend a lot of time getting back and seeing what that diet really is. The world is starting to recognize that diet. In fact, I was reading a year or so ago in the Journal of the American Medical Association, and a diet very similar to the one we've been discussing was mentioned as being able to cure or prevent many different diseases. And let's list these diseases. Heart disease, appendicitis, diverticular disease, gallstones, hypertension or high blood pressure, varicose veins, deep vein thrombosis, pulmonary embolism, hiatus hernia, hemorrhoids, cancer, colitis, and obesity. And a number of diseases are being added every few months to this list. What a miracle if Seventh-day Adventists had stayed on the diet, the natural remedies that we were given. In fact, Ellen White in the Review and Herald, May 27, 1902, if Seventh-day Adventists practiced what they professed to believe, if they were sincere health reformers, they would indeed be a spectacle to the world, to angels, and to men. And elsewhere she said that if we were following the health message, the church would then have the power to move the world. And I believe that we as Seventh-day Adventist people are still going to come through with the health message and give it to the world. Because if we don't, the very stones are going to cry out. This is a message that needs to get out. A vitalizing, health-giving, life-giving message. That's the very right arm of the message itself. If we're sick and we go and see a physician and the physician gives us some life-saving or some miracle drug or performs some intricate surgery on us, who do we give the credit to? But if on the other hand, if we go and start using these natural remedies. And we see the very power and healing of God flowing into our body as we receive the vital air, the sunlight, the beautiful, simple, natural diet, and exercise, and all the other natural remedies. Then who do we give the credit to? Oh, praise God. If we look at these natural remedies and the very power and life of God flowing into them, we know that there is going to come a test over these natural remedies. A test in the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Let me read to you from Loma Linda Messages, page 602, the truth. For this time, the third angel's message is to be proclaimed with a loud voice as we approach the great final test. This test must come to the churches in connection with true medical missionary work. A test coming over true medical missionary work. And as we read earlier, that God's methods of treating disease will open the doors for the entrance of present truth. We know that this is a method that the Lord is going to finish His work. There is so much prejudice to the religion and the gospel and the message that we have that people will not let you in their door to give them Bible studies. But they will let you in the door to show them how to bake a loaf of bread that's helpful. They will let you in the door if they think you have some information about cooking healthful food that will heal their diseases. You can get in many doors where you can never get in if you go in to give Bible studies. And then the prejudice is broken down when they see that you're intelligent. In the area of healing disease, you understand how to cook. You understand hydrotherapy. You understand about exercise. And you can help them and their diseases get better. The prejudice is gone and they want to sit down. We have patients asking us, where is the Seventh-day Adventist Church? We want to go. The prejudice is gone. My friends, there's a work for every lay person in this church. From 7 Testimonies, page 62, we have come to a time when every member of the church should take hold of medical missionary. Does that leave out anybody here? Everywhere, people are perishing for a lack of a knowledge of the truths that have been committed to us. There's people out there dying. For a lack of the knowledge of the diet that has been given to us. A lack of the knowledge of the power and healing that is in the sun and in the air. And in exercise and hydrotherapy. And in all the other natural remedies, including the grace of Christ that fills our souls. The members of the church are in need of an awakening that they may realize their responsibility to impart these truths. From Acts of the Apostles, page 111. Let them understand that there is a large work to be done outside the pulpit by thousands of consecrated lay members. When the pastors of the Church of God do their appointed work in the needy fields at home, the Lord Jesus will return to the earth with power and great glory. Did I read that last sentence right? I'm glad to see some of you shaking your head because I misquoted it. Let's read it the proper way. It's not the pastors. When the members of the Church of God do their appointed work in the needy fields at home, the Lord Jesus will return to this earth with power and great glory. Your friends, your neighbors, your relatives They need to know about this vital healing power that is in the health remedies. The very life of God that flows through these natural remedies. They need to know about that. And that very power, that very life, that healing power will break down the prejudice. And these people will become God-fearing people. Friend, there's going to be a terrible controversy over this. When Satan sees that this health message is gaining strength and gaining power, he's going to throw every obstacle and every roadblock in the way. We're told in 9th Testimonies, page 158, let those who are teachers and leaders in our cause take their stand firmly on Bible ground in health reform and give this straight testimony to those who believe we're living in the last days of Earth's history. This straight testimony is mentioned again in 1st Testimonies, page 181. Some will not bear this straight testimony. They will rise up against it. And this will cause a shaking among God's people. And friends, the shaking is on. The rebellion is already on the way against God's natural remedies. Against God's natural diet. A shaking coming. The Lord Jesus is calling His people in the last days, calling a people who will keep the commandments of God and have the faith of Jesus. And those commandments of God include all of His commandments, all of His health laws. There is no difference between the Ten Commandments and the laws of our being and the laws of our health. And God is going to have a people standing in the latter day that are keeping His commandments and have the faith of Jesus. Friends, we have been wandering out in the wilderness for many years, the Seventh-day Adventist Church. And the Lord is calling again now, calling a people back to cross over the River Jordan and go home with Him. This is my prayer. Thank you.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. International copyright, all rights reserved. Free listening of this message and over 7,000 other presentations by more than 100 speakers on 50 different topics is now available on our American Christian Ministries mobile app for Android and Apple devices and on our secure website. You may also order presentations online at AmericanChristianMinistries.org or call 800-233-4450. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help to prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.